Summary of Pricing for Profit by Peter Hill. Written by Alyssa Burnett and Quick Read. Narrated by Blake Farha. Introduction. What do you do when a store you like raises its prices? Is your immediate instinct to shake your head, complain about prices going up, and look for a cheaper alternative? If your answer is yes, you're not alone. Most people are resistant to an increase in price, and that's the number one reason why most business owners are advised to avoid raising their prices at all costs. But what about the brands that have made it a success strategy? Just think about Apple, for example, or makeup companies like Too Faced. We know they're more expensive than their competitors. We know they can be easily undercut. But we keep buying from these brands because we feel as though we're paying for superior quality. What if you could do the same thing in your business? The author believes that basing your business on this strategy is absolutely possible, but you have to know the right tricks of the trade. And over the course of this summary, we'll learn his success secrets for growing your business and learn why raising your prices might be the best choice you ever made. Chapter 1. Why should you raise your prices? If someone were to ask you this question today, what would you say? You might respond that raising your prices is obviously the fastest way to make more money. If you have high prices and your customers are willing to hand over their hard-earned cash, that's an instant and significant spike in prices for you. But the author argues that your price point is actually about more than just profit. It's also a means of growing your business. In fact, it's one of four ways he recommends to grow your business, and we're going to dive in and take a closer look at those four strategies in this chapter. Increasing your prices is actually at the bottom of the totem pole on the author's list of success strategies. It comes last after growing your customer base, cultivating valuable transactions, increasing the productivity of your operations, and lastly, raising your prices. As you've probably already guessed, this positioning is strategic. It's a message to business owners, a reminder that raising your prices can be a great option, but it should never be your first option. However, the author also acknowledges that raising your prices won't cause you to lose as many customers as you might think. Although it might seem like an unwise business move, a study the author conducted for his research proves differently. To test his theory, he asked a focus group of consumers why they would stop buying a product or frequenting a store. 68% reported that they would stop because they felt they were not valued as a customer. But only 10% affirmed that they would take their business elsewhere in response to an increase in price. This proves that raising your prices isn't as much of a threat as you might think. Instead, neglecting your customers by offering lousy customer service is your biggest enemy. This also illustrates that you can orchestrate a small increase in price and get away with it. Raising your prices drastically might cause some friction with your customers. But if you start small, with something like a 2% increase, your annual profit can rise by about $20,000. And best of all, the increase will be small enough that your customers are unlikely to complain. Chapter 2. The Key Factors of Price Setting. In the previous chapter, we've examined the potential risks and benefits of raising your prices and considered the impact on your customers. But we still haven't considered the appropriate strategy to employ when setting your prices or considered the key factors that must inform your decisions. The author argues that the most important factor to consider is the product's value to the customer. That might seem like the most obvious choice, but according to the author, most price strategies are unsuccessful because they neglect this crucial element. So, let's take a look at how this works in practice. Let's say you're a makeup company. It costs you $20 to make that palette, but you sell it for $64. You've built your business on this price point. Your customers believe they're paying for premium quality, so they're willing to pay extra. That's how you measure the product's value to the customer. But what if you found a way to reduce your costs significantly and wanted to reduce your prices in response? What if you cut your prices to $34 instead? That might sound like a good deal, perhaps one that would result in a sudden influx of sales. But ultimately, as a business strategy, that wouldn't work. That's because your customers still value the product at $64. And although they might appreciate a flash sale that would allow them to purchase that same palette for $34, your customers are going to be suspicious and confused if your prices see a sudden, drastic drop. And because they still value your product at $64, they'll be willing to continue paying that. So, if you can cut your costs and continue selling it for $64, you should definitely keep doing that. But what if you tried to lower your prices to undercut your competitors? That also seems like a great business decision because surely you could outsell them in so doing. But this model also fails to consider the question of value to the customer. That's because you can't know how your customers value your competitors' products. They could value them more or less than yours. And if they value your products more or feel that they're paying extra to receive superior quality, as seen in the makeup palette example, then you risk losing business if you lower your prices too much. So, if both of these strategies are flawed, what does the right approach look like? And how can you implement it in your business? The author argues that the best approach is one which sets the price in relation to the value your customers place on your product. To do so, you just have to think like a customer. For example, you know from your own experience as a customer that customers don't consider the value of a product in the same way as a business owner. They think not about how much it costs to make the product, but about how much the product matters to them. So, even if the product in question is the cheapest, nastiest hamburger in the world, if the customer associates it with fond memories and happy moments, they'll be willing to continue paying for it, even if you raise the prices. You can think about this when it comes to pricing your products. Because as long as your customers associate your product with positive emotions or superior quality, you can justify raising your prices and be confident that your customers will continue to pay. Chapter 3. How do customers estimate value? So, now that we've discussed the importance of pricing according to your customers' values, it's time to take a closer look. In order to set adequate and profitable prices, we need to know how customers estimate the value of a product. As we said in the previous chapter, customers don't make value decisions based on the production cost of a product. So, how do they decide what something is worth? How do they cut through the noise of all the competing advertisements to determine what they want? We can figure this out by using the example of iPhones. The newest model of Apple's iPhone, the iPhone 11, is $669. That's a lot of money for a phone. And when you consider the availability of cheaper options, it seems like even more money. But people are still lining up around the block to fork over their hard-earned cash in exchange for the iPhone 11. Why? One reason is because they value the brand. Brand loyalty can be a significant motivator when it comes to product choices, and it's definitely a deciding factor for people who buy Apple products. Whether they love the quality, the prestige, or the popularity, having the newest iPhone is a symbol of status, quality, and wealth. Or perhaps they've simply bought Apple for such a long time that they can't imagine buying anything else. Their laptops, earbuds, and iPhones are all Apple products and have been for years. They're so comfortable with what they already use that they would never consider switching to one of Apple's competitors, even if that meant better quality or better prices. So whether the motivation is driven by brand loyalty or the desire to flex your status symbol in front of others, customers might be willing to spend a cool $700 in exchange for those feelings and a new iPhone. But customers can also be motivated by a product's features. Maybe they don't feel any sort of brand loyalty, nor do they care about a product's social capital. Instead, these customers are motivated exclusively by a desire to find a product that has the features they want. Whether they're interested in the iPhone's high-quality camera, its sleekness, speed, or processing power, the features alone are the significant motivator for this customer. And because they value those features, they're willing to pay $700 to get them, even if there are cheaper or flashier options available. And although this example centers on iPhones, these motivations are interchangeable for almost any product, whether it's household supplies, furniture, or fashion. So, now that we've examined some of the ways customers estimate values, what are your next steps? How can you implement this knowledge in your pricing? The author suggests that talking to your customers about it is perhaps the best option. This can be especially beneficial if you offer a service-based product like massages or house cleaning. To determine a range of good price points, you could come up with a sample price list and present this to your customers. Show them what the baseline price would be for the most simplistic option you offer, and then indicate the additional prices for adding extras. This will help you determine how your customers value these various services, and you can use that feedback to set your price range. You can do the same with other types of products like makeup or technological devices. Show your customers what you offer and how your quality and features hold up in comparison to your competition. By setting a sample price range, one that falls either lower or higher than that of your competitors, you can assess what your customers will be willing to pay. Chapter 4. Presenting the price. The author acknowledges that getting your customers' feedback on your prices is something of an unconventional approach. Many business owners believe that information about the inner workings of their company should be kept private, and that it might be corporate suicide to involve customers too much. But the author disagrees. Arguing that there is a successful middle-of-the-road option, he affirms that involving your customers can be extremely beneficial. You just have to present the information in the right way. So, how do you do that? For starters, the author recommends that you lead with clarity. Clarity should be the guiding principle of your price presentation because without this crucial ingredient, you risk losing customers. But doing this requires that you once again put yourself in the customer's shoes. If you think about how it feels to be a customer yourself, then you know that there's often a great deal of hesitation involved in our decision to try a new brand for the first time. We often have a lot of questions as well, such as, what if it's defective? What if I don't like the product? What if it doesn't fit? What if it's a waste of money? All of these questions, and many more, are on the mind of a new customer, so it's your job to give them a bit of preliminary peace by being upfront about your prices. This is especially important if your prices are high, because this can increase a customer's doubt and hesitation. For example, if the items on display in your store or website don't come with an easily identifiable price tag, customers can feel put off or confused. They might be embarrassed to ask about the price or feel that your approach isn't very user-friendly. All of these factors can cost you their business, so it's important to be proactive in this regard. So, start by making sure your prices are clearly displayed. But then take that one step further and show your customer why your prices and your products are special. You can demonstrate their value by having a sale and posting the sale price on clearly marked eye-catching signs. This will communicate their value to your customers and encourage them to buy from you. Final summary. Setting profitable prices is one of the most important strategies for any business, but it can be tough to know what the right price is and how to set it. However, the author argues that, contrary to popular business advice, raising your prices can actually be a very effective strategy. This claim is supported by his research, which revealed that 68% of customers would take their business elsewhere because of poor customer service, but only 10% would leave because of an increase in price. This indicates that as long as you raise your prices in a reasonable way, you can benefit from a sudden and significant increase in your profit. You can do so by developing your understanding of your product's value to customers and including your customers' input in your pricing scheme. This has been a summary of Pricing for Profit by Peter Hill. Written by Alyssa Burnett and Quick Read. Narrated by Blake Farha. The End.
This audiobook summary was brought to you by Quick Read. We hope you enjoyed this audiobook summary. If you want more audiobook summaries like this, download our app in the App Store or Google Play and get access to thousands of other free book and audiobook summaries. Listen to them while working out or commuting to work and get the key insights of books in minutes instead of hours. Go to quickread.com/app and download our app for free today.